Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Positivity Spartans. I'm your host, Isaiah Hubbard, back again with Eric Lane. We are joined today with a special guest, Kiara Park, a little homie of ours from the Army. What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing today?
What's up, my brother? Everything's good. What about y'all? How y'all doing?
Man, I can't complain. Can't complain. Kiara, I just want to, first and foremost, thank you so much for joining the Positivity Spartans episode.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course, of course. You know, we was talking and Elaine was like, you know who I think would be a perfect candidate for this episode? He was like, Paul. I was like, yo, bet. I was like, bet, we could do that. So once again, thank you.
Yeah, bro. She and I, we had some interesting conversations offline just about the military and in life. And so, you know, I think she's a person whose insight I value and I respect and also appreciate. So I think she definitely give a good perspective and I'm eager to hear her experiences in the military as well.
For sure, for sure. Now, before we get started, you know, we'll let everybody know the episode topic today is going to be, you know, just different perspectives of the military, things that have happened, things that we have seen, you know, things that go on because, you know, with everything that's happening with Vanessa Guillen down at Fort Hood and all three of us having been stationed at Fort Hood at some point together, actually, is where we all met, you know, but we figured it'd be a good topic for us to talk about. But like I said, before we get started, you know, Kiara, how you doing? You know, how's life? It's been a minute, you know what I mean, since we've seen each other, since we spoke. You know what I mean, just how's everything going with you?
Life is good. Single mom, just out here, you know, doing what I do.
Okay. I'm
trying to still make it. Hopefully, I can be where you at one day.
Man, I ain't no special. You gotta be better than me. Don't be like me. Be better.
Absolutely.
Nah, that's good. That was good to hear from you. Lane, what's up, my man? You getting close to coming home, man.
Yeah, bro. Everything good, man. Just taking it one day at a time, for real. Leaving here Monday. Should be back around midnight Tuesday. So, yeah, everything's great. I really got too much complaints. What about you, man?
Man, I'm chilling. Life is great. Life is grand, man. I mean, amidst all this COVID stuff, bro, I really can't complain. You know, life's been moving in my favor. You know, just continue to manifest that success, bro. You know how I do.
Yeah, Texas is wild, bro. I see they shut down the whole state again.
Man, it's weird because it's like they were hesitant to open, and then they opened to 25% capacity. Well, that's what they said, right? Let me put it this way. So they said they were going to open for 25% capacity, and while I was Uber driving and whatnot, bro, these places were way beyond 25% capacity. Like, like outside, they figured, all right, since you're outside, no holds barred, you were like as many people as can be outside. And then the only thing they did is they were shutting down the bars, and then you had to get a table, and they would come to you and serve you drinks that way. But other than that, man, I mean, I seen this coming. To be honest with you, I seen this coming.
Man, I think Florida, Texas, and Georgia. We need to go ahead and get rid of those three states.
Whoa, come on. I mean, Kiara, she's from Georgia. I personally happen to love Atlanta. You know what I mean? And then Texas, come on, man.
Hey, bro.
You hear the Texas, disrespect, hey, here? You hear this, man?
They could never shut down Atlanta. Listen, that's where everything's happening.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Everything.
It's just too much going on in the world right now, man, honestly.
Way too. You know, it's crazy because there is like, for like the first time in a while, there is a lot of big shit going on to the point where it's like, it's a little overwhelming. I'm not going to lie.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a little overwhelming because, I mean, it's like we deal with the police murders, the police brutality, and we turn around and we got the protests where, you know what I mean, they're gunning down people at pros. I wouldn't say gunning down because they're using rubber bullets, but still gunning them people down with rubber bullets. You know what I mean? And then, you know, our topic today, just everything that seems to be happening on these military installations and Fort Hood especially. I don't know if I'm the only one who noticed, but did y'all happen to notice it seems like every year Fort Hood is like somebody in Fort Hood's being busted for a prostitution ring? Or am I just going crazy?
No.
Right.
Nah, I think the last one was like in 2016. And then there was another one that just got caught. And then from the 2016 incident, the guy finally got indicted on it.
Oh, really? So it's all just been one single one single thing, or it's been multiple?
I think there is multiple, but the last one I heard was from the 2016-2017 incident, and they finally indicted everyone and gave them their sentences. That's the last thing I heard. I think there may be two. You may be correct, bro.
Okay. Yeah, man, because I could have swore I seen one. Okay, you said I wasn't tripping. Do you know of any?
I mean, Fort Hood is a danger. It's like a war zone now, Fort Hood. Everybody's missing. People right. pop it up from last year that have been missing. They finding them dead. Like, it's crazy.
It really is. And, like, I think it's even more crazy because, like, I know you guys may have seen the Facebook post, but I've seen a lot of people posting about, like, you know, if we lose a piece of equipment, the entire post shuts down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you know, for a fact, you know what I mean? In the three, when we had to do layouts and everything, they had everybody on deck. If you weren't there, everybody. They were blowing up your cell phone. I mean, they were blowing up your first on cell phone. They were blowing up everything. So for things like that to happen, man, it's kind of unbelievable for them to you know, soldiers do go AWOL. Let me not get ahead of myself. Soldiers do go AWOL. You know, things happen. I've known soldiers who've gone AWOL. You know what I mean? Like, that does happen. But this situation with Vanessa, man, and the soldier whose remains were found, there's too many, you know what I mean? Too many questions. Way too many questions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those things shouldn't be happening. Not at all. It's a lack of leadership. All
right. Definitely.
For sure.
Lack of leadership.
For sure.
Bro, I read this article. It said, in the last 4 years, from January 2016 to present, Fort Hood on average has lost 36 soldiers a year. If you divide 36 by 12 months, that's an average of 3 soldiers a month.
That's crazy, dude. And you said that was just in Fort Hood?
That's in Fort Hood. It highlighted Carpers Cove, Killeen, Belton, and Temple. You know, just everything within that Central Texas area. Oh, and Harker Heights as well.
Yeah,
and Harker Heights, man. I don't know, man. As Kier alluded to, it definitely has to do with leadership. Colin Powell had this quote. It said, leadership is solving problems. The day soldiers stop bringing you their problems, it's the day you have stopped leading them.
Mm-hmm.
They have either lost confidence that you can't help or concluded you do not care. Either case is failure leadership. It's definitely a lack of leadership, especially in that place with the tempo being so high. It's kind of like, and from my perspective, I feel the leadership doesn't balance personal lives and also the mission. I know we're soldiers first, you know, everyone's like your family comes second, but you got to have a healthy balance, man. My leadership style, my approach, and Kier probably feels the exact same way. Any soldier I allow to take care of their family, handle their personal business, they'll break their back for me to complete a mission.
Right.
That's just how I am. So, you know, you show people you care about them, you care about their family, you know, you have some good interpersonal skills. I think issues such as these can be avoided, man. You know, it just comes down to actually knowing your soldiers and taking pride and ownership in the NCO creed. Like, I think now they just promote a lot of people simply just for the hell of it. And this is the cause of it, man. It's truly sad.
Absolutely, bro. I mean, I there's really not much I can add to it because, I mean, leadership is so key. And I think that's why I'm so thankful for, you know, my first and only duty station was Fort Hood. But I've had about, like, 3 different command teams come through there. And my first command team was absolutely awesome. You know what I'm saying? Like, the NCOs and whatnot that I had that I deployed with on my first deployment, bro. Like, that was like the epitome. I've said it before. That is the epitome of, like, what a unit should be in my eyes. Because everybody looked out for mm-hmm. each other. And, you know what I mean? Like, nothing like that would, like, I don't think would have ever happened. You know? Like, that shit would not have flew in 49th, bro. Like, that's just my opinion. And leadership is definitely a key because we had some pretty great leaders then. And you care, stop me if I'm lying, you know what I mean? Because you've been in 49th. Lane, stop me if I'm lying, because, you know what I'm saying, you were a company in 49th, but 49th was a pretty pretty great battalion, all things considered.
Yeah, it was definitely solid when I was there, and the leadership is not the same anymore. It's a numbers game now. If it's not on slides, if it's not, you know, something that they need right away, they don't give a damn at all.
That's crazy. I hate to hear it.
Even how, you know, Vanessa she went missing. She's just one incident, but it's crazy how, based off the timeline that they gave in articles, nobody thought to check on her when she didn't return back to work.
Right.
To me, that's baffling to me. I don't understand how, if your soldier leaves for lunch and then comes back or doesn't come back and you don't notice.
Right.
For like, hours, you don't notice.
And then the NCO covered it up. He said he went to do a welfare check and said she was in her room and she wasn't.
Crazy, man. There's so many things that, because, like, y'all ever woke up late for PT?
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. Yo, especially in the barracks.
If you don't answer that phone, what's the first thing that happens? What wakes you up, bro, if you don't answer that phone?
A door.
A knock at that damn door.
Not a bang, like a police.
Actually, the master key, bro. Honestly, the master key.
Oh, man.
Now that, they getting that master key and coming in the room.
Right. Now, see, I haven't experienced that one. That one would throw me off. But man, like, just like experiences like that, like, it's crazy. You know,
you good over there, man?
Yeah, man. You know, I took a little deep bit on that one. You know, I had to, man, because this is a stressful topic, man. So, you know, I gotta keep my mind at ease. You know what I mean? Because you know, I did want to talk about so, Kiara, your experiences in the Army differ from mine. You know, I mean, you're in a lot longer. You're still in. You've achieved higher ranks, and also you're a female. Not only a female, you're a female of color. You know, so big respect to you for everything you're doing. Big ups to you, because, you know what I mean, we came in at the same time and you're doing big things. I'm proud of you. I don't know if I've told you that lately, but definitely, yeah. Just, you know, what was it like for you? Like, you know, with this Vanessa thing going on, like, how does that make you feel? You know, being that it could have been you in those shoes.
It's a very hard pill to swallow as a female in the military, because when you're working with males, it's already, you're trying to compete and trying to be noticed in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, working with them and they not pay attention to you at all, or just take you as a joke, or, you know, when you're feeling a way, you can't go to them or talk about it, and you don't really have anybody else in your unit that you can discuss your issues with or express how you're feeling. It's a rough place to be in. It puts you really in a depressed state of mind, because it's like, dang, you know, I can't really tell family about it if they're not military, because they can't relate. Or I can't tell a friend about it because they can't relate. I can't talk to anybody at work because they're males and they'll just think, you know, I'm just shooting shit, or I'm just full of crap, or I'm being emotional too much. I just feel really bad for, because it seems like she had no outlet. And I've been in units where I pretty much was the only female for a while, especially in this unit here. Up until recently, I was the only female. So it's difficult having a male-dominated type of force where you have no outlet. And it seems like Vanessa had turned to anywhere for anybody to help her. And then now they're covering it up. So it's like, what could she have done? Who could she have talked to? And the Army, they provide many resources, but by the time you get to those resources or dial the numbers or tell your supervisor, oh, I have to go here to talk to this person, now at this point, they don't want you to go, or they have other things that are pressing and you can't go to that. So it's like, what could she have really done? You know?
Yeah.
That's true, and that's so unfortunate, and that's so sad, because, man, it shouldn't have been like that. It really shouldn't have
failed her, man.
It falls on that leadership, like you said. You know what I mean, you know, what age did y'all go to basic?
I was 21. 21.
Yeah, I was 22. What about you, bro?
Shit, I was 19, bro. I was 19. I couldn't even drink yet.
Wow.
I couldn't even drink it. Real shit. I went for the money. You know what I mean? I really didn't think I had any other choice where I lived, but so I joined for the money. And you know what I mean, I joined at 19.
What money?
Right. Hey. To be honest,
yeah, he joined for the Chargers. He joined for the Chargers, bro.
Shout out to Shadow in the driveway. But you know, it's crazy, man. Like to think at 19 years old, like the Army just threw me in the middle of Central Texas. You know what I mean? And granted, you know, I was technically an adult, and granted, technically we're all supposed to be adults, but you know what I mean? It's tough. And especially like for a female, it has to be. You know what I mean? I can't really speak for y'all, but I can only imagine, like, even as a 19-year-old female in general. Because Vanessa wasn't that old, if I'm not mistaken. Any of y'all know her age?
Yeah.
I believe she was only, about 22?
Yeah, see? Young. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, man.
And it's crazy because when you're researching most sexual harassment and assault cases, they're between the ages of 17 and 24 in junior enlisted soldiers, particularly females. So that's insane. Mm.
Wow. Never realized those statistics.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of the things that get brushed to the wayside. You know what I mean? And not to talk down on the Army, because the Army gave me mad up, like, super opportunities I'm so grateful for, but things like that are, you know what I mean, unacceptable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just within like the last 2 years, sexual assault increased by 50% in the Army.
50%?
50% within the last 2 years, and only 17% of that was restricted reporting. So that says a lot. That means a lot of people are not reporting.
Right.
And, you know, we sit in these sharp classes and nobody takes it serious. They're just like, oh, it's just something, you know, to check the block. Let's just sit in here and get this over with. I've been in so many sharp classes where it got personal for me as a female, because you'd be surprised, you know, no offense to men, but you'd be surprised how many sit in a sharp class and don't take it serious or just joke about the things that happen to females. And to me, being a female sitting in a class with males like that, it's like, well, dang, can I trust you if something happened to me? As my battle buddy, if we down somewhere, can I trust you to take my side and protect me? Or are you going to say it's my fault that this happened to me?
Right.
And it's triggering. Right. Like, I've had points to where I've had to walk out of some sharp classes because it just be entirely too much for me.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I totally understand. So, Kira, have you ever been discriminated against or had anyone treat you differently due to your gender and your race since you've been in the military? You've been in what, 7, 8 years now?
9. I just hit 9, actually.
9. Uh-oh. You're almost halfway there. Congrats.
Okay.
I have, actually. I do feel I was discriminated in Germany. So what happened was I had just had a baby. Obviously, I had gained weight. I was going through postpartum depression. Obviously, I didn't talk to anybody about it at work, mm-hmm. but I was dealing with other personal issues, so I decided to try and put in a recruiter packet just when I leave Germany so I could be stable and try to get close to home with the kids and everything personally I had going on. And so I put in a recruiter packet, and they gave me such a hard time about it. This was also around the time where I was getting ready to fly back to the States for AOC. And so I put the packet in, you know, and a Hispanic guy right before me had just put a packet in. Mind you, he was always overweight. He never passed hiding weight. He miraculously passed and got his recruiter packet done. And so, you know, they signed off on his. So I did my recruiter packet and I signed off on it. I got everything I needed. I took my PT test, my height and weight. I passed it. And so I go in the office and, you know, they did this whole thing about, oh, I don't want to sign it yet. I need to wait till the brigade commander can sit down and have a conversation with you. So I said, okay, you know, I'll do that. So we went in there and sat down with my EA and the Sergeant Major. And basically, when we're sitting in there, they were like, oh, you're only 1% under. So I don't feel comfortable signing your packet because I don't even know if you're going to make it in AOC. Wow. After they signed off on this dude that literally was on point with his. So I said, okay, I'll go to, you know, AOC. I'll prove my point. That it devastated me because I was just like, wow, y'all didn't have any of those issues with, you know, the male that did it. Y'all were right on with it,
right,
and signed his packet. But, you know, I didn't say anything because, you know, I felt like, okay, I just had a baby. You know, I barely passed, so I'll go to AOC and do what I need to do to come back. And he was like, you know, if you come back and you pass AOC, we'll sign your packet. And then, you know, I sat there and he was like, do you feel any way about me not signing your packet? And I was just so stuck that he didn't sign it. And he basically called me in a roundabout way, you're too fat and I don't think you're going to pass AOC, so I'm not going to sign your packet. So I didn't say anything. I had tears in my eyes, but I tried to hold it together because obviously it was nothing but men in the room. So I was like, okay. So I left out, and then he called me in the office. He was like, you understand this isn't personal, right? And then I was like, okay. So I went to AOC, passed AOC with flying colors, came back, and he still didn't sign off on my packet. Didn't say congratulations or nothing. So at that point, I knew it was personal for me. But he signed off on another guy's after me.
That's ridiculous.
So discrimination, it happens all the time.
He totally overlooked all that hard work. Everything that you had to overcome, he looked completely over it, signed two other packets for them to go with no problem, but had an issue with you going. For what reason? Like, he says it's not personal, then, I mean, what is it? I mean, you met every single qualification, and his only reason for not sending you was because of his opinion. So how was it? How are you not supposed to take that personal? You know what I mean? Like, come on now.
And then when I went to talk to my EA about it, he was like, oh, you know, just wait till you get to your next duty station. I was like, well, I wanted to do it at this duty station because, you know, I have better chances at this duty station.
Right.
So it's like they kept trying to cover up and make excuses for him not signing my packet.
And that's ridiculous. Because I've worked with you personally, and I know personally, you know what I mean, you're doing outstanding the job, you know what I mean, you go above and beyond. So I know there was nothing that should have kept you back other than it was him. That's crazy.
Yeah, and as a leader, that took a lot out of me. I think after that, I didn't want to do anything else after that. Because I was like, nothing, it seems like as a woman, when you're in the military, nothing you do is ever enough, or it'll never amount to what they deem a man can do in the military. And it sucks to have that mindset, but that's pretty much how it becomes so much after you get discriminated against or people nitpick and find different things with you. It becomes too much on your mental at that point. And it's depressing.
I believe it. Because go ahead.
So from your...
No, go ahead, bro.
I'm sorry. I meant to cut you off, bro. My bad. Okay. I was going to say, so from your perspective, Kiera, what do you think needs to happen for that culture to change in the military? Because, you know, I have seen a lot of females break the barriers, you know, with becoming generals, becoming sergeant majors, getting certain positions. But, you know, what do you think needs to change for those preconceived notions to be thrown out and for women to be seen as equal in the military?
I don't think they'll honestly ever see us as equal, but women, we still got to keep stepping up. We still got to keep showing that we can be up there and do what men do. Because it's a mindset, really, with men. I don't think a lot of them, they don't really see us as equal until we show what we're capable of. So women, we need to continue stepping up and showing that I can be out here with you. I can make this 300 on this PT test. I can show up in class and do what I need to do to pass. You know, it's a mental thing for a lot of people. And I think we just got to keep showing up and letting them know that we're here and we're present.
Yo, I love that mindset. I love that mindset. I love that you said that. Right. I love that you said that. You know what I mean? Because you know me, I'm Mr. Motivation. You know what I mean? That's 0600. But for you to say it like that is amazing. You know, I also think that, you know, Lane, I know you'll agree with me. I think that us as soldiers, you know, as your peers, I think we need to step up as well. You know, I think we need to do more on our part, for sure. I think, you know, I don't think you should ever, or any soldier, female, male, whatever, should ever feel like they're alone. I feel like, you know, we all came in, I mean, at different times, but we crossed paths and our paths crossed for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And there is no reason why you shouldn't feel safe, period. You know what I mean? You should continue to do those things, like you said, you know, strive to be better, show them that you're just as equal. But you know what I mean? We got to do better to protect our queens. And Lane, I know you'll agree with that.
Oh, yeah, no question, bro. Definitely.
And actually listen when we talk, too. You know, even if you're not interested, you never know that one conversation you have with that person could change everything.
For sure.
That 5 minutes you save the creep that was in the parking lot or that person from suicide. So take those extra minutes. If somebody's talking a little bit longer than they usually talk to you or trying to hang around a little bit longer, even if you're busy, find a way to be there because you just never know what you're actually saving that person from. That one conversation could have changed them from going to their room and taking all those pills or hanging themselves in the bathroom.
Yeah. That's deep. That's very deep.
Yeah. I totally understand that. I kind of want to ask this question, but I don't want to phrase it incorrectly, so excuse me if this comes off bad up here. What do you think needs to be done to protect women more from, you know, sexual harassment and, you know, other things that take place within a SHARP program? Because, I don't want to phrase that. I don't want that to come out badly. So, you know, I apologize if that came off kind of wrong.
What can they do?
Yes.
For one, I think they need to actually start taking the class as far as, you know, I don't know if they need to revamp the class or maybe give more scenarios as far as how serious it is for a female versus a male going out. Because I know they give really good classes for SHARP, but, you know, like I said, people don't actually listen to them. And I feel like males need something else to actually tap into their emotional being or whatever you call it, for them to understand how serious it is for a female when she leaves out of work and go to her car, or when she's leaving the bar at night, that creep that's outside waiting. Men need to be more cautious when they're out and they see these females, you know. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of them have girlfriends and, you know, some of them might be iffy, but if you see a female by herself or you're with somebody, not necessarily follow her, but just see what she's going to do. Men have to start stepping up to the plate.
Agreed.
And actually, you know, watching out. Like, if you're my battle buddy and you're supposed to be my bro, you know, while we're in this uniform with my brother, look out for me. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to personally know me, but look out for me. If you see me laid out on the sidewalk, I'm super drunk and I don't have anybody with me, help me. Get me somewhere where I can get help or point me in the right direction. Don't just leave me on the sidewalk because you out your friends or you think, man, she loose or she a thot. No, help me.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You never know when that person, sometimes some people are so out of it, they just simply need help. That don't mean you got to touch on that person or, you know, take them to your house or whatever, but help them. Find a resource. A lot of men, you know, and some females, they don't take the time to do that when they're out in public. Like, oh, they probably with somebody just drunk and this, that, and third. Well, find out. So it's accountability and it's accountability issues. It's just like deploy. It's just definitely like deploy when you're downrange. You know, if we're side by side fighting, I expect you to cover me just like I would cover you. So what's the difference when we're in the States?
Absolutely.
And it's not in an environment like that. I still need you to cover me.
Absolutely. That's for sure. I mean, you hit it right on the head, you know, accountability. You know, it's more than just the word. You know what I mean? It's more than just, you know what I mean, a check on the block. Like I said, you know, you mean you get dropped out there like 19, 22, 21. You know what I mean? Even then, you know what I mean, that's still young to be dropped in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean? With no family, no friends, nothing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So holding each other accountable is definitely key. And that's why, you know what I mean, I appreciate y'all, you know what I mean, for meeting y'all. because I mean, I feel like we all held each other accountable to some degree. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Whether it was in uniform or out of uniform. You know what I'm saying? We've all hung out in uniform and outside of uniform, and I mean, we've all been there for each other. So I mean, you hit it right on the head, that accountability word, man. Y'all bringing it today. Accountability, you know what I'm saying? Leadership, it's these core Army values that they speak about. But you know what I mean, like Kiara, like you said, they need to do more than listen. You know what I mean? They need to take it serious and actually put it into action.
They do. Gotta get back to where we were. I feel like they come in so young now, and it's just everything's just moving so fast. They don't really have time to teach it. It's just kind of like, okay, we're just gonna sign this paper and say you took this training. No, right. They actually need to know. Me being an EO rep and just, you know, going through surveys, and you know, a lot of the times on the end of the EO surveys that you do, they have comments about sexual harassment. How many people don't know how to report sexual harassment?
Is that because of lack of, and that's because lack of information?
No, not at all. It's resources everywhere about SHARP. Literally every door you could probably turn on. It's just they're just simply not paying attention. They don't care enough about it. It's like if it doesn't hit their doorstep, they don't care about it. And that's part of the problem in the Army. To get back from it. Just because it's not on your doorstep don't mean you shouldn't pay attention to it. Right. It could easily be your mother, your sister, your auntie, your daughter, your girlfriend. You know, pay attention, your wife. It could easily be any of those people.
Definitely. I think this is an issue that's even that's in the civilian sector as well. I've seen a lot of women go public via social media expressing their disdain for, you know, sexual harassment, you know, women that have been raped on the workplace. It's just, I think it's everywhere, man. And, you know, I think as a supervisor, as a leader inside the military, outside leader, man, you got to do your best to protect everyone around you, and especially the women. Like, I know you guys already mentioned that, you know, we got to hold each other accountable, but, you know, accountability is a serious thing, man. And so many people lack that accountability. They have lack of pride, lack of integrity, lack of personal accountability. And, you know, this is the result of it. Like, you're seeing a trickle-down effect, and it's causing so much harm to a lot of women throughout the nation.
You know, and I think it puts a bad perspective on, I mean, just the world in general. Because, I mean, that's, like you said, that's a worldly issue, man. And I don't understand it, because in my eyes, I know women that are 10 times smarter than men. I know a couple women that'll smoke any man in a PT test. You know what I mean? And I just don't understand why, you know what I mean, we can't, or not we, why there's people that can't just see everybody as equals. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense, man.
And this is bad, but it's also exposing the Army for what it really is. It's pulling the cover back. Because the Army harps on leadership and standards, but be real, we don't have any. And all these people missing, getting sexually assaulted and raped and going missing with no accountability, it's exposing the Army for what it really is.
Right.
It's covering things up, and, you know, what are you going to tell these people's families? She's been missing since April, and you guys decided to, what, in June, finally decide to send a team out to look for her? And when y'all sent the team out, y'all was there to take pictures.
And that's ridiculous. Is that again?
It's ridiculous.
You know what I mean? Because, like, if that was a piece of equipment, like we said, it'd have been a totally different story.
Totally different.
Which is absolutely absurd. I did want to ask you something. So, the height and weight standards, and like things like that, like even just. Blame just your perspective on the body height and weight standards of the military. Like, would y'all agree when you say they do not cater to, like, the regular person, like the regular athletic body?
Not at all.
Oh, yeah, no pressure.
Because I can't tell you, like, how many times I've had to be taped and, like, first on and be like, yo, why are you even in here? Because, like, take off my shirt, I have a six pack, but it's just because I'm big. You know what I mean? Like, naturally big, you mean it's like they want you to be skinny and frail, and it's so weird. And, like, those standards, again, like Kieran mentioned, I mean, it can be taxing on you mentally, you know what I mean, to try to meet those standards.
I don't know who came up with those standards. They're ridiculous. And God forbid if you're a Hispanic or a Black woman, I mean, and you have any slight hip or butt, it's over.
Done with. Even hairstyles.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing as well. I've been seeing a lot of, women in the military complaining about
the standards are kind of like, so they consider a lot of things that would be natural to us. I mean, they consider faddish. I mean, that word that they use, faddish. For they like what? Them. Yeah. Like, because I remember a soldier in my unit. I mean, he was told to cut his ways out because they were considered faddish. You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
He should have fought that.
I don't think he cut the waves. But, you know what I mean? But just the fact that he even had to fight for that. And, I mean, I know a lot of my female, I mean, battles, they fought that same issue. Like, just their natural hair seemed to be an issue for whatever reason. And it's crazy that the standards, they continue to just gear towards that same demographic. It just doesn't really make sense.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think that's the thing with the military. A lot of the verbiage and the regulations, they're vague and truly up to your interpretation. So, you know, if you're a white leader and you were raised around white people, your perception of Black culture, Black hairstyles, or even being totally open-minded and receptive to other cultures and how their hairstyles are, or even how they're shaped, like, you're not open to it because you've never been exposed to it. So I think that's something you have to change. Like, the verbiage needs to be more direct, more clear-cut. Like, you shouldn't say, hey, this is up to your perception. And as everyone always says, perception is reality. But, you know, your perception is not my perception, nor is it my reality at times. So, you know, they got to change the verbiage on as well, man.
They need to change the verbiage, and leaders need to actually read the regulations and understand it as well, especially, you know, some of those men counterparts that have female soldiers. Because I think I just got into it with a guy last week about a female with blonde hair. Obviously, she's Black, but the regulation says of a natural hair color. And I don't know why that of a natural hair color just doesn't sit well with men. So he was like, she can't have blonde hair. I said, well, why can't she have blonde hair? Well, Black people aren't born with blonde hair. I said, how do you know Black people aren't born with blonde hair? I was like, the regulation says of a natural hair color, so she can have that blonde in her head. I was like, what's the difference in this chick right here with blonde head versus her? And they don't have answers for it. But you're not reading. So you're going to tell her she can't have blonde hair, but you're also not reading the regulation.
Well, we all know what he wants to answer. He just can't answer it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I know how he wanted to answer
it. And that's crazy.
But I'm glad he chose the right way to answer it because I was ready.
Right. See, and it's crazy that we have to stay ready like that. You know what I mean? Like, because you can never just, like, get by. I know. I used to wear a watch. And I had this one NCO came out of nowhere, had an issue with my watch because it was a G-Shock, and you know what I mean, the face was colored but the band was Black. And I mean, I had NCOs told me, as long as the band's Black, I'm good to go. So he gave me a hard time every time I had seen him, until one day I had to bust out the regulation, like, hey, son, like, yo, you're hounding me, but clearly in the regulation my watch is cool. Like, I had to carry it in my pocket just for him not to mess with me. And it's crazy that I even had to do that over a watch.
That sounds like me. Y'all remember those glasses I used to wear back in the day?
Them big old bifocals? Nah. Nah, I remember.
the little Malcolm Magic glasses. I used to get so many compliments on it, but on the other hand, I used to get a lot of slack on it, man. Like, people used to always say something about my damn glasses. I used to hate it so much.
That's crazy, man. It's just on glasses, on a watch, you know what I mean? On hairstyles, for what? For what?
I don't know, man. Being in the military, I kind of feel like you kind of lose a sense of your individuality to a degree. Like, you can't express yourself the way you desire, not just verbally, but even when it comes to physically, like, you know, certain hairstyles you want to do, certain clothes you want to wear. It's just a lot of things that you have to sacrifice, you know, simply for this occupation. And if the military can't do something simple, yeah, they pay us, of course, but, you know, if they can't do something simple as protect our welfare, protect our women, it's like, why the fuck are we even serving for real?
Right.
Like, that's how I feel, honestly. You know, of course, I know you have to compromise and you have to adapt to whatever job that you do, but, you know, it has to be a give and take, man. Yeah, it definitely has to be a give and take.
I feel like you shouldn't preach it if you're not going to be about it, you know what I mean? Don't say, you know what I mean, this is one team, one fight, one family, if that's not how it's going to be. You know what I mean? If somebody in your quote-unquote, you know what I mean, family is having issues, how are you just going to look to the wayside, I mean, and expect them to continue doing their job for you? You know what I mean? How can you expect a soldier to go missing and her family ask, you know what I mean, where is she at? And how can you look that mother in her eyes and be like, yo, I, you know what I mean, I don't know. Like, how can you do that as a leader? How can you say, you know what I mean, like, it's supposed to be one family, and then you not care that a soldier's been gone for X amount of days until it hit, you know what I mean, national news? And I sincerely believe if social media wasn't around, this would have slid under the rug. So who knows how many others other than Vanessa, you know what I mean, like, this has happened to or has happened to, and you mean the story just went under the wayside because they considered her AWOL. Know what I mean?
Yeah. As males, do you all find it difficult to soldier females?
So, to a degree, yes, because, again, not to attack any women, I truly sympathize with you guys, but there's some women that lie about these things, and I've seen one of my soldiers, he got hemmed up for a situation for a woman, so he lied about saying that he raped her. And he was under investigation for about 2 years, man. And, you know, he couldn't progress. And he almost got put out. And, you know, they obviously found out that he didn't lie when nothing happened to the female. So as a way to protect myself, anytime I'm counseling a female soldier, I do it in public settings. I'm never in a closed door or a closed room with the female. Again, there's nothing against that soldier. It's not saying that I don't feel comfortable, but I got to protect myself as well. Because, you know, I got a family to take care of. I don't find it difficult because I'm pretty straightforward. And, you know, again, I don't even attempt to make a pass at any of my soldiers or anyone that I work with. That's just not my style. But I'm more cautious and aware. I don't think it's difficult. It's just, it varies. It varies per person, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it varies per person. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's difficult.
Difficult. I'm gonna be real. It's sound difficult. Like, I've never been put in the position. You know what I mean? I've never had to soldier a female. You know what I mean? My little short time where I was in leadership position, I've never had to soldier a female. But anytime I worked with a female, I always just try to keep it, you know what I mean, as equal as possible. I mean, it was never really a favoritism thing or, oh, they couldn't do anything type of thing. But I mean, when you go into it like that, Lane, I mean, you know, those are things, yeah, you have to look out for, but you shouldn't, but at the same time you should. So it sounds difficult. I'm gonna be real.
So I do it to the point where they may not realize it. So last week I had to counsel a soldier. Normally I do my counsel indoors, but because the weather was nice and no one else was in the office, I said, hey, let's go outside, grab some lunch, and I counseled her that way because we were literally sitting outside in front of the building at a table. So, you know, just give you that as an example, because I don't want to, as much as I don't want to be uncomfortable, I don't want to make anyone else feel uncomfortable either. But regardless of what your gender is, I hold you accountable for your actions, what you do and what you don't do. And I hold all my soldiers to the same standard. Like, you know, even for PT, like currently we're still in the APFT. I tell my squad, I would like everyone to have a 260 or above, which I believe is fair. You know, that's technically a 90% just about, but, you know, I treat them equal. I mean, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. You know, I have some soldiers that are strong at running, some soldiers that suck at running, some strong at push-ups, upper body strength, and some of them suck. But, you know, I don't look down on my female soldiers if they can't do something that a male can't do. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things right there. A lot of men, I don't feel this way, but I've heard a lot of men in the military say, Women desire to be seen as equal, but they can't do what I can do. And just because a person can't do what you can't do doesn't mean they can't work their way up. Doesn't mean you're better than them, nor does it mean that they're less.
Right.
they're lesser than you.
You know, another thing that I need is to, like, you know, mean rumors. You know, I think that's another thing that plagues, like, being a female soldier. And Kiera, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's one of those things that definitely needs to stop.
Rumors,
character assassination, man.
So I can't remember. And you know, it's crazy. Like, it seems like it's always the older NCOs, which doesn't make any damn sense.
Just bomb.
Ridiculous, man.
It's crazy because it's like, where do you draw the line at? Because I know you're talking a lot about females, and I ask that question because for males, it's like, if a female say anything about you guys sexually assaulting us or you looking at us wrong, it's pretty much your career. So it's like, soldiering a female, where's the line as far as comfort?
Right.
You know, with counseling her, doing PT, and, you know, being with her day to day, but at crossing those lines, because, you know, like you said, you have females that they do lie on a lot of males, but where's that balance? Because it seems like the Army, they can't really find a balance. Like, if I were to go today and say, oh, you touched me inappropriately, and you say you didn't, you don't have witnesses, you're still going under investigation for God knows how long, just because I said it.
Oh, yeah.
So right. There has to be a better system in place to protect both parties. Because it's not just women being sexually assaulted. It's a lot of men, too.
I can believe
that. They don't
talk
about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can believe that. You know, as a man, I mean, that's not something that's easy to admit. You know what I mean? I'm glad I've never had to experience that. But, I mean, a lot of men have a lot of pride. So, I mean, if something like that happens, I mean, they're not going to look at it like that. And a lot of times, they don't even know they're sexually assaulted. They wake up with shorty in bed, and they're like, oh, shit, well, let me just head back to the crib.
Bro, I never realized that men, I was kind of naive to sexual assault prior to the military, but I never realized a lot of men were get sexually assaulted as well until I am processed at Fort Hood. You know the little sharp class that they make everyone take and doing their processing? It was a black old lady, man. Y'all know black old ladies, like, you know, in the military or any civilian, like, they gave it to you straight raw. Like, they got no cut cards. So, you know, she was making jokes, making light of certain things, you know, like telling little jokes here and there during the course. And, you know, men were laughing. She was like, what y'all laughing for? She was like, believe it or not, I've had more men cases come across my desk than women since I've been in this business for the last 5 years. And, you know, I was just like, wow. She was like, yeah. She said, believe it or not, it's not women on men, it's men on men. And I was like, wow.
I can believe that. For some reason, I can believe that. Which is crazy, though.
I think as a whole, man, everyone just has to do their best to look out for others and, most importantly, look out for themselves. You don't want to make things uncomfortable. You don't want things to be disingenuous or not organic, but subconsciously, like, you know, subconsciously do things in a sense to protect yourself and also to protect the other person around you. I like conversations such as these. They're uncomfortable conversations, but, you know, the conversation needs to be held in order to rectify the issue. In order to rectify the issue and develop a plan of action.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I'm glad, you know, me and Kiera came on the show, you know, so we could have a different perspective. You know, I mean, it's easy to talk from our perspective, Lane, because, you know what I mean, I was a male that was in, you're a male that's currently in, but, you know what I mean, it's a whole different perspective, you know what I mean, on the female side.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Like a whole different ball game, you know what I mean?
It's a rough game out here, because you just never really know. You're as a female, your guard is always up. You're always in competition mode. You never really get a chance to breathe. I got to do this. I got to work twice as hard as him. I can't show emotion. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's always a battle. It's a mental thing. And it's exhausting as a female.
I can believe that, because it's like, when aren't you at war then?
Exactly. That's how we feel.
You know what I mean?
I can't like, speak for all of them, but that's how it feels. It's like I'm constantly having to prove myself.
Right.
And that I can go above and beyond. I can do what you can do. Constantly, it's exhausting,
And that's crazy. Oh, go ahead.
So, Kier, oh, I'm sorry, bro. Kier, I got a couple questions for you. First question: would you let your daughters join the military?
Absolutely not.
And another question: Well, another question is, with everything going on, how do you educate them and ensure they're aware of certain things going on, you know, such as this? You know, how do you teach them to protect themselves in a situation such as this?
So, my kids are, well, to answer your first question, absolutely not. I'm trying to work overtime to ensure my kids just find another way. And don't get me wrong, the Army has provided me a great lifestyle, you know, outside of the little small town I'm from. And I'm very grateful for it. However, I don't want any of my children whatsoever to join the military. I'm very raw and uncut with my kids because they are very smart beyond their years. So I sit down and I have conversations with them, but I more so let them talk than I respond as far as, okay, how do y'all feel about this? Or y'all saw this on the news or on Roblox or YouTube, how do you feel about it? And then that's when I go into telling them about how to protect themselves and what to do if you're in a situation like this. And granted, my daughters are younger, but I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. So they kind of understand the more that I put it in their brain about, hey, if you're out in public, you know what I'm saying, with friends, make sure you have this on you or be by light because of this or this situation. I give them different scenarios to understand this is what needs to happen when you're in a situation like this. And I constantly talk to my kids. I give them the raw and uncut so they can know this is what's going on in the world and this is what you may face. And unfortunately, your generation may be way worse.
Right, which is crazy and so unfortunate.
And it's so scared. It's so sad. But I want my kids to be prepared for it.
You kind of have to give it to kids. Yes. I mean, straight up nowadays, because I mean they're also exposed a lot more than we were as kids too. Because you know what I mean, these kids are smart. You know what I mean, they hop on YouTube, and I mean sometimes they may watch something on YouTube. Like you said, you have to explain to them what they see on Roblox, or you mean they may hear something on the radio. And like you said, your children are getting older. Now you have to explain. You know what I mean, why Ahmaud Arbery was shot, why George Floyd. You know what I mean, why these riots are happening. And it's crazy because, like you said, the next generation, it may be worse. But you alluded it to it earlier, you know what I mean? Just got to put in that overtime to make a better life for them. And I respect you for that.
Absolutely. And people are, you know, they're even getting on kids. They're teaching their kids about racism at early ages. I had, you know, my kids tell me, you know, girls on the bus were trying to touch their hair and talk about curls. So I had to give a lesson on, you know, nappy curls. Hey, right. Your hair is beautiful. Your skin is beautiful. Love everything about it.
That's crazy.
And that's so sad. At the age of 10 and 7, I had a lesson on that.
And that's disgusting on the other end.
It is, very.
We have to do better. Because, I mean, Lane already knows, you know what I'm saying? The hate you gave little infants fucks everyone.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, Kier, I think you're doing a great job. I tell you this all the time, but, you know, you're definitely a great mom, and I know when the kids go, they definitely appreciate and understand all the sacrifices that you're currently making. So, you know, keep your head up, man. Keep pushing forward despite everything that you're going through and all the haters that you're on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
For sure. And we definitely want to thank you again for coming on. You know, like I said, we haven't talked in a while, so it was definitely good to catch up with you. I mean, a little bit that we got to talk, you know, like Lane said, keep doing what you're doing because I'm watching you and I'm proud of you, like I said, because we came in and you're doing big things now. I mean, go ahead, big song.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all for having me.
For sure, for sure. Is there anything you'd like to say to the people out there before we go?
Not at all. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Queen Yes. Talk 101. We give love and, you know, light, different perspectives for both men and women. So definitely tune in sometimes when y'all are free. And to our Instagram channel, Southern Convo 101.
For sure, for sure. Be sure to send me, send me that link so I can put it in the description. But until next time, my people, positivity, prosperity. Peace.
Peace, brother.